You're listening to Red Nation Online.
Welcome to the Red Nation Podcast Interview Series. My name is Steve Boucher, and earlier today I had the pleasure of speaking with Colin Miller. One of the most respected and well-liked men in the Canadian soccer community, Miller brings a wealth of experience and expertise to his new position as head coach at FC Edmonton. A former player who was capped 61 times by Canada, he has previously held high-level coaching positions with the men's and women's Canadian national teams, Derby County Football Club in the English Premier League, and as an assistant coach for the Vancouver Whitecaps. In this interview, Colin and I discuss his recent hiring as the new head coach of FC Edmonton, his career as a player and coach, and the current state of Canadian soccer and the Canadian national team program. And now, Colin Miller. Colin, congratulations on your new position as head coach of FC Edmonton.
Thank you, Steve. It's an absolute privilege to be here. I'm delighted with the people at the club. They've been fabulous to me so far, and it's great. I can't wait to get started.
I'd like to start off by asking you, what attracted you to the job and to the franchise?
Well, first of all, I was helping out my good friend Alan Errington, who's the head coach of the University of the Fraser Valley, and who play in the CIS West, and I was speaking to Len Vickery, who's the head coach of the University of Alberta, and I actually asked Len what his thoughts were on the club and the ownership and so on, what he knew about the club, and he spoke so very highly of everything that was happening with FC Edmonton, and he said I should throw my name in the hat. So that's exactly what I did. Len sent me an email for Tom Fath, our owner, and Joe Petroni, our director of soccer operations. I sent away just a very brief letter saying I was interested in the position. Would you be interested in me sending my CV? And within an hour, I got an email back from both gentlemen, and it's just sort of snowballed from there. I had a telephone interview. I was flown into Edmonton and had a look around to see the facilities and meet the people within the club. A real good feel-good factor, I have to say. And I must have impressed them because I was offered the position. So a bit of negotiations back and forth, as you could imagine, but very happy with the deal and very, very proud to be the head coach of FC Edmonton.
With your hiring, you're currently the only Canadian head coach at one of the four professional teams in Canada. As to date, outside of Nick Dasovich having a short run as an interim head coach in Toronto, TFC Vancouver and Montreal have chosen to go with non-Canadians at the helm of their clubs. Are you hoping that by having success with FC Edmonton that you might be able to play a part in opening some doors for other Canadian head coaches?
Well, I think the key is part of the sentence that you said there, Steve, is having success. Now, whether you win a championship or whether you're bringing Canadians through to play for the national team, whether you finish mid-table, top one or two, whatever, there's variations of success. But yeah, I genuinely believe that we have Canadians here that should be in head coach positions, that are good enough to be in head coach positions. You know, I look at the likes of Dale Mitchell, Nick Dasovich, myself. That's an MLS coaching staff, in my opinion, Steve. So I hope it lets ownership see that we are capable of doing the business. But of course, you have to bring some success and some structure to what you're doing, and you know, hopefully I can start to do that for all the Canadian coaches here and be a good starting point for us.
Certainly success by Canadian coaches at the highest levels in North America is not in any way unprecedented. Interestingly, on the same day that you were announced as FC Edmonton's head coach, your friend and former national teammate Frank Yallop was named MLS Coach of the Year for the second time. I'm curious, what are some of the reasons that Frank has been so successful? And, you know, do you regularly chat with him about the profession of coaching and leading a professional team?
Well, it shows you the type of friendship that Frank and I have. As soon as he found out that I had the job, he sent me a quick message right away wishing me all the best. And if there was any way that he could help develop the club or in any sort of relationship at all, he'd be more than willing to do that. And I've said it before, Steve, that group of players that we came through with the national team program was a very, very tight-knit group of people, and that I think is fantastic. I think it's great for Frank. It may actually be the second time that Frank's been the coach of the year in the MLS because he's won two previous championships. But I think the biggest thing that Frank has going for him, as well as being a terrific person, first and foremost, he's a player's type of coach. And by that I mean he's approachable, has a sense of humour. He's also, he's also a quality coach. He wouldn't be in that position if he wasn't capable of coaching at that level of football, and he has been doing it for many, many years. So it's no fluke that once again he is the MLS Coach of the Year. And I'm delighted for him, but he deserves everything that he gets just because of the type of person he is, the class act that he is, and he has the most wonderful sense of humour that he's actually a very, very funny guy.
FC Edmonton owner Tom Fath has always been vocal in expressing that he has a distinctly Canadian vision for his club. You previously worked as a residency and assistant coach with the Vancouver Whitecaps, who are one of the most important organizations in Canadian soccer. How important is it for you to be part of an organization that's playing a key role in developing the sport in Canada?
Well, I think it's massive, Steve. In all honesty, the MLS clubs all have academies and are doing some terrific things. We're a little bit different, I think, here, because I've already spoken to our young reserve team group who have absolutely been fabulous during our combine here. With when players have been dropping out, we've needed our reserve guys to step in, and these kids have been terrific, absolutely first class. I'm delighted with them. And I told our young boys on Monday when I first met them that I don't care how old you are, if you're good enough, you'll play in our first team. And I think, you know, that the MLS clubs are maybe under a little bit more pressure than we are here at FC Edmonton to throw a young guy into the mix, and I have no hesitation in doing that. But I think it'll just take one or two of these younger guys to go and make an impression in our first team before the other clubs might think, well, you know, let's throw them in. Because I was one of the lucky ones at the age of 17 when I played my first game for the Toronto Blizzard. Bob Houghton had a belief in me as the head coach of Toronto. He threw me in 9 days after I graduated out of high school in Vancouver, and I made my debut against Portland Timbers. So I'm definitely of the opinion that if the player is good enough, that he is old enough.
While many of the players were Canadian, FC Edmonton previously had a Dutch head coach in Harry Sinkraven and played a Dutch-style 4-3-3 for many of their games. What type of soccer can Eddie's supporters expect to see their club play with you as the head coach?
Well, there's never any guarantees that we'll win any game. I don't think any manager around the world can do that. Maybe Barcelona, possibly, but I can't guarantee that we'll win every game. But what I can guarantee is we'll have a fit, very well-organised team that will try to play attractive football. And by that I mean not a long ball, smash it up the park, hope for the best, but you'll see players that will be totally committed to the cause. And I've said already on TV and radio and newspapers that I want to have a team here in Edmonton that our supporters will be proud of and that will enjoy coming to watch. And it's easier said than done, Steve, because there's another 11 players on the opposite side of the field that are going to try and nullify what you're doing. But that's my goal. I want us to be better defensively. I want us to be more aggressive going forward. And I want us to play quicker and pressure higher up the field and so on and so forth. I just wanted to, you know, I'm not having to go in any way, shape or form of the previous coaching staff that were here, because I heard they were very, very good and difficult act to follow. But my way of going about things is a little bit different. I put big, big demands on players, both in training. There will be no grey areas. There will hopefully be no fluff in FC Edmonton at all.
People that saw you play with the Canadian national team know that you brought a very strong competitive mentality to the pitch. What type of character and mentality are you aiming to invest your new team with?
Well, I've already said to our players, our young guys, and even the guys that are here in the combine, that if you don't show a discipline on the park, and by that I mean, can you defend properly as soon as you've lost the ball? Are you getting in goal side? If you misbehave off the park and so on, then you won't be a part of this. I want to really, really have a team here that people can be proud of, and I want players to be excited about it. And yes, I was aggressive as a player. I was passionate as a player. I want to instill those qualities in our players. I want them to be passionate about playing, Steve. And I think it's important. A team is a reflection of the coach. And if our team here can show the same attitude and commitment that I had during my career, because I never had my attitude or my commitment questioned during my 18 years almost as a professional, then we won't be far away.
You played for Glasgow Rangers in Scotland during your playing days. What did you learn from being at a top European club such as that, that you maybe can pass along to the players on FC Edmonton?
Well, that was one of the biggest honours and privileges in my career, was to wear that Glasgow Rangers jersey. I only played 7 first-team games, Steve, but I won the Reserve League with Rangers. I was the last captain under Jock Wallace. I played in a friendly against Tottenham Hotspur at Ibrox before I left to join the 86 World Cup squad. I know that what it was like. It was just such a privilege, and I remember a story with a guy called Doug Bailey, who was a reporter for the Scottish Sunday Post, and he had also played for Rangers, and he said, "It doesn't matter, wee man," he said, "I know how disappointed you are that you didn't play more games for Rangers during the 18 months that you were there, but everywhere you go now, every write-up that's ever involved in yourself will always be Colin Miller, ex-Rangers," and that has been true to the day. It has always been mentioned, Glasgow Rangers and Hearts of Midlothian. They're both mentioned in just about every article that's been written about me. So the pressures that are under players at that level and the time that I was there was phenomenal. It doesn't matter where you go in Scotland, if you're a Rangers or a Celtic player for that matter, you're under the spotlight all the time. So it was a real privilege. I'm very, very fortunate to have worn that jersey.
The NASL is the second division in the North American soccer pyramid, and thus is a league that is both very competitive and something of a development league. You know, given that FC Edmonton finished in lower positions in their first 2 years of play in the NASL, how do you plan to balance the development of young Canadian players, which is a focus for the club, with winning and being competitive, which can often mean going with more veteran players?
Yeah, sure, and that's the million-dollar question. It's a great question, Steve. I think that the timing of throwing the young ones in is really important. You know, you can't rely a full season on throwing 18 and 19-year-olds in a very, very competitive league. It just, you would never have success, in my opinion. So trying to find the balance of giving these young guys an opportunity of playing in the team, and preferably when we're ahead in games, preferably when the team is playing well, and not having to, you know, throw the spotlight on this young guy and put him under unnecessary pressure, although at some point he has to stand up and be counted in that environment. I think that's the key to the whole thing. But as I've said right at the start here, if these young guys are good enough, and our coaching staff here before my arrival have been fabulous, the work they've done with these kids, they seem to have a fabulous attitude. They're very passionate about what we're doing. And one of them has already said on TV that he's over the moon that their head coach has said that if you're good enough, you're old enough. And that's their incentive to try and produce the goods. And if we can get them out of that reserve environment as quickly as possible and throw them into the first team environment as quickly as possible if they're ready for it, then when they make the jump from that first team training into a first team game, they're not like a deer in the headlights. They don't get stunned by that environment. So we'll try to bleed them in the right way, and by doing that, I think is when the team's playing well, hopefully we're ahead in games, and, you know, just genuinely giving them a chance.
Given what you saw of FC Edmonton over the course of their first 2 years of competition, what are the main things that you believe the team needs to do in order to achieve better results in 2013?
Harry Sinkgrave, the previous manager here, in any way, shape or form, I'm certainly not going to do that. But one of the things that I did see in the 10 or 12 DVDs that I've watched already is a weakness from set pieces, weakness defensively. There's a very fine line here, Steve, in this league, because from top to bottom there's only 22 points, which is not massive when you look at the leagues around the world. That is not a huge difference from top to certainly not top to bottom. You could be looking at, in some cases, top to third or fourth in a league. So there's a fine line there, and that fine line for me is a combination of being tighter defensively, being more responsible defensively, and there's been times during the games when players have had the opportunity to play balls forward or in and around the box, shoot, and be more confident, more aggressive going forward. I'm going to try my best to combine those two elements, and you're hoping at the end of the day that you're lucky as well, because you can do all the preparation you want, but I also think you need to have a little bit of lady luck with you for sure.
You're well known in Canadian soccer circles as someone who excelled while playing for the Canadian national team and for wearing the national team kit with pride and distinction. Is it a goal for you to see some of your FC Edmonton players get call-ups to the Canadian men's national team?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we're quite privileged today to have Sean Fleming, the head coach of our U17 national team, here watching our combine in Edmonton. So already the exposure to the national team is fabulous. You know, Sean's coming here and he's looking at players, and some he's seen before and some that are in his current squad. So yeah, absolutely. I've just spoken to Sean Lowther as well, who's the technical director of the Alberta Soccer Association, and we're all here and we should all be working together. I've said on TV and put on record that I want to give Sean Fleming as many headaches as I can. I want to give Nick Dasevich as many headaches as I can for his U20 group, and our next World Cup team coach, whoever that is, we want here to produce as many top quality players as we possibly can. And in the environment that I've seen so far, I think we can do that.
You were inducted into the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame earlier this year and were part of the only Canadian national team to have qualified for a World Cup back in 1986. What are your thoughts on the current state of the national team program and the most recent World Cup qualifying campaign?
That's a good question again, Steve. I'm obviously disappointed. I've been texting back and forth with Stephen Hart, who's a good friend, and I think I've told him that I thought the players let him down in Honduras. There's no one can tell me that Honduras are 7 goals better than Canada. That's just one of those horrendous results and performances that we all want to forget about. But I think there's a core of players there to build on. Nick has got some good young lads, I'm sure, with his squad. Sean Fleming is saying that there's some terrific young talent coming through with his 17s. And again, it's a restructuring position that we're in at the moment. And the appointment that we make as an association now is critical for us, and hopefully one that'll provide us with real leadership and the standards that are required to compete at the CONCACAF level. But real disappointment as a fan, as an ex-national team player and captain. I was really disappointed that we didn't advance into the final six for sure, because I believe that group of players were good enough to get us into the final six.
You grew up in Vancouver, and as most people are well aware, you were part of the Vancouver Whitecaps organization for several years. Looking ahead to next year's schedule, are you looking forward to having your new team play against the Whitecaps in the Canadian Championship Tournament in 2013?
Well, I would be lying if I hadn't, if I told you I hadn't thought about that fixture every day since I had the job, since I've been in the job. But it's, our success will be judged on how we do in the league, and anything we can get out of the Amway Championships is going to be a real bonus. But I can assure you, those two games at the Whitecaps, when we play against them, this FC Edmonton team will be totally committed to getting two very positive results against them. And I know that I've had some texts and emails from Whitecaps fans who are expecting exactly the same performance from FC Edmonton for sure. And it's great. I mean, what a fantastic rivalry we can have. But I'm also open, and I've spoken to Bob Lenarduzzi about it already, about building a real good relationship with the Vancouver Whitecaps. And, you know, they're on our doorstep. Basically, it's an hour flight from Vancouver to Edmonton. There's no reason why we can't work together in any way, shape or form, you know, about maybe possible loan players. Who knows what is possible? So these are things that we will set up, and we've spoken about setting up meetings to see how we can tie things in. But I can assure you that any deal that has to be done has to benefit our club here at FC Edmonton. The players that we will bring in or might bring in to FC Edmonton have got to be better than the players that we have here.
That ties nicely into my next question. In addition to your connections with the Vancouver Whitecaps, you are well connected in the soccer industries in Canada, the US, and I expect the UK and Europe as well. Have you given much thought as to how you might be leveraging your considerable connections for the benefit of FC Edmonton and its players?
Yeah, I leave on December 5th to start that process. I'm going back to the UK. And I'll be stopping at Aberdeen, at Rangers, at Hamilton, my old club, and then I'm going to look at a centre forward while I've got two games lined up to go and watch them. So the process has already started, Steve. So the question, the good thing I'd like to think about myself, Steve, is that I'm one of the game's good guys, and I haven't burned too many bridges with people along the way. I've left the Vancouver Whitecaps, and I put on record that I was absolutely gutted to leave the club. But it wasn't a personality conflict. It was just the fact that Martin Rennie wanted to bring in his own coaching staff. And I've done that as a manager before, when I was a manager in Scotland. And I've had it done to me now twice, once at Derby and when I was in the English Premier League, and once, obviously, at the Whitecaps. So it's part and parcel of the game. But I left the Whitecaps on very good terms, and I didn't burn any bridges. I'd like to think I've got a bit of class and how I go about things. And thankfully, during my career, as I've said earlier, I haven't burned bridges, and because I've still maintained good contacts, yeah, absolutely, we'll be using as many of those contacts to better our club.
I have one final question for you. Your professional playing career began as a young lad with the Toronto Blizzard in the previous incarnation of the NASL. Do you feel like you've come full circle now that you are a head coach in the current edition of the North American Soccer League?
Yeah, I actually said that during the press conference here in Edmonton. I think it's amazing that as a 17-year-old, and I think I'm one of the youngest players to play in the North American Soccer League with the Toronto Blizzard, because at that time I believe you had to be either 18 or your high school class had to have graduated in order to sign a professional contract. And I was 17 when my high school class graduated in Vancouver Tech High School. So yeah, to start my career in the NASL and now be coaching in the NASL is fantastic. I'm absolutely very fortunate. I love the time that I had in Toronto, playing for a phenomenal franchise in the Toronto Blizzard, working under a great coaching staff. So now I've got that same privilege here in Edmonton, working for Tom Pfaff and Joe Petroni, two terrific guys that are totally committed to making this franchise the best it can be. And I'm going to love every minute of it.